It's good to see brethren who haven't been able to be out in a while back with us. And it's good to see so many visitors. You who are visiting, we encourage you to check out everything that's done here, whether it's in a sermon or a Bible class or a TV program. We strive to do what God tells us to do. Sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we aren't exactly right, and we would like that pointed out to us. But more importantly, if you're visiting with us, we encourage you to see what God wants of you, because that's really what matters. This morning's lesson is really kind of a simple one. A few weeks ago, I gave some of our smaller children some gifts. And one of them that I gave a gift, I wanted this little boy Levi to come and pick out a gift for him and his cousin, because Aiden wasn't available at that particular moment. So I had Levi come with me, and he picked out a gift for him and his cousin. And then he insisted that I gave the gift to his cousin. He didn't want to give it to him. He insisted that I gave it to him. He wanted me to give it to him. So I thought that was a good idea. So I found Aiden, and Aiden was with his daddy, and gave him the gift that Levi picked out for him. And his daddy encouraged Aiden to say thank you. And he said thank you. And that was very good and all that. A few minutes later, I was in a group of people talking, and Aiden ran to me and got my attention and said thank you. He said it on his own. He didn't say it because Daddy prompted him to. He didn't say it for any other reason than to just let me know he was genuinely thankful. How powerful is that? How powerful is that? That triggered a whole thought of this sermon, of just the thought of being thankful and grateful. And we can see that this is a biblical concept, but I want us to see something that maybe Aiden taught me that day, is that it's a powerful force. Being thankful. And I think we'll see that this morning. In Psalm 35, and we'll look at some verses in the Old Testament first. Psalm 35, verse 18. The psalmist writes, I will thank you, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version. I've got some quotes from a couple other versions later, and I'll tell you about that. But for the most part, I'm from the English Standard this morning. Psalm 35, verse 18, I will thank you in the great congregation, in the mighty throng, I will praise you. There's something to be said for public, being thankful to God in a public way. Being thankful to God when things happen at work. Being thankful to God when things happen to you when you're with friends. Being thankful publicly is a powerful thing. And we see that here in Psalm 35. Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5. Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. You know, and thousands of years later, the Lord is still good. And all these blessings come. What a great passage to show the power of thankfulness. Psalm 105 and verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. We have a song that uses these words in it. Great. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. A thank you from a sincere heart is a great motivator. And I tried to think of a couple of examples that really are very practical. Beth works hard a lot of times fixing meals. And it's taken me a long time to realize how important a thank you is. And you know what? The thank you is more important when the meal doesn't go quite well. You know? Because the effort was still there. The love was still there. The consideration was still there. Thank you. I do a lot of work on cars for the girls. And I have a friend that I help him with cars. And sometimes those of you that work on cars, and I know there's quite a few, sometimes things go pretty smoothly, and then sometimes they don't go so smoothly. You know, having Beth tell me or one of the girls tell me, thank you, honey, thank you, daddy. It goes a long way, doesn't it? Thank you is a powerful, powerful motivator. And is a New Testament concept as well. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 4. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, or crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, notice what instead there should be of that those improper things. Let there be thanksgiving. Let there be thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And starting in verse 16. A verse that Nathan referenced in a recent lesson. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Notice verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks in all circumstances. That's a great passage to remember our attitude. A couple passages from Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12 in verse 28. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for God is a consuming fire. In the New American Standard Version, it renders this slightly different. It says, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude. And there's a footnote. Let us have gratitude. And that's really powerful to me. It's not the idea of just showing it from time to time. It's the idea of living it all the time. Having it with you, gratitude in your heart. That's what I get from that. By which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. Hebrews chapter 13, the next chapter, verse 15. Through him, then let us continually offer us a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. If you look at the New King James Version of Hebrews 13:15, it reads, therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Giving thanks to his name. And I think when we put these verses together, we need to have thanks to God in our hearts at all times. And help and remind ourselves of the great blessings we have. And it fits in well with what Rick talked about. Having that good attitude towards others is going to come from a thankful heart to God. You know, sometimes things happen in the workplace or in school or in families or even in congregations where something needs to be done or asked to do something. And we as Christians, we do things because we're serving the Lord. We're not doing things for the glory of man. But nonetheless, when we complete a difficult task, we put a lot of effort into it, even though we don't do it expecting that, doesn't a thank you go a long way?
I know it does with me. And giving thanks to someone after they've put in a lot of effort is a really great way to show your appreciation for others. And sometimes if you don't say that, it can be a discouragement. Someone puts a lot of effort and time into something and it's not appreciated, or it comes across that way. And I think we see that in Luke 17. Luke 17 is the time when Jesus cleanses the lepers. As Rick was talking about, leprosy was horrible. It's a horrible disease. And let's read about what happened here. In Luke 17, we'll start in verse 12. And as he, this is Jesus, as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voice, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." We talk about this interaction because it's so powerful. We have 10 lepers. Rick told us about how horrible this disease is. 10 of them. And the only one that said thank you was the Samaritan. He goes back and he says thank you. Now, there isn't anything in Scripture that talks about what I'm going to mention here. But I want us to think about this for a second. Jesus, it's apparent to me in the context that Jesus was encouraged by the Samaritan. Was he not? Him coming back and seeking him out. And Jesus interacting with him. Do you think those nine other lepers who weren't healed, not saying thank you, do you think that was an encouragement to Jesus? Just turn it around a little bit. I think that was a discouragement to him. He says, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Scripture doesn't really talk about how Jesus felt about that, but I think we can see that you know, being thankful is a good thing. It's an encouraging thing. And when we don't do it, it can be a discouragement. We Christians should be the most grateful and thankful people on the face of the earth. Jesus gave up heaven to live on earth for 33 years, be separated from his Father, live as a man, endure as a man. He's God. He's treated despicably by his creation. He even intercedes for them while he's dying. He overcomes death for all of us. He then goes to the right hand of God as our perfect master and savior and king. Wow. We should be the most thankful people on earth. And you know, when we as Christians don't show that attitude, we can dim the light of Jesus. And we don't want to do that. We want to shine it brightly. The idea of gratitude and thankfulness is a powerful, powerful force. And this world needs it. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 15. "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." A great passage to remember how we ought to just naturally be a grateful and thankful people. We have the peace of Christ. We have the blessings of Christ. We have the blessings of forgiveness of our sins. We have the hope of heaven because of him. We should be thankful. It should be a natural thing. We live in a world that doesn't think this way a lot of times. We live in a world that's, we've heard it so many times, the entitlement idea. In Romans chapter 1, we see a little bit about that, and we see a warning about that. In Romans 1, starting with verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse." Notice verse 21. "For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools." And it goes on from there. Just verse 21 is striking to me. We have people today who see God's handiwork all around them, but they don't acknowledge Him as God. They don't honor Him as God. And if you don't honor and acknowledge Him, you're not going to be thankful to Him. And that's just... Paul is telling Romans, that's so out of whack. That's off base. The world needs to understand God and realize they should be thankful and humble themselves to Him. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, another kind of warning with deceit, or with conceit, "Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying His power, avoid such people. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led away by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth." I think we can all see examples of this type of behavior in our surroundings. A lot of these things are obvious, but you know, right in the middle of that, ungrateful. And you know, when you think about this, in context, ungrateful to who? Ungrateful to God. See, that's where it all starts, is we realize the blessings God has given to us. And that's where our thankful attitude can spring from. Shining the light of Jesus involves being gracious and thankful and appreciating what people do for us. A very simple lesson this morning, a very powerful one to me, and I'm thankful for all our children. I was walking around before we assembled this morning in the hallway, in the children's hallway, and Hannah's done a great job with the posters with the children. And I counted all the children, and including the one that's on its way. We're going to have 19 children in this small congregation. What a blessing. What a blessing. And what a blessing they can teach us. We talk so much about teaching our children. How much we learn from our children. How much we learn from our young people. How much I've learned from my children. It's a wonderful, wonderful blessing. And the lesson I want you to think about, and I want to think about more, is being more thankful in our lives, being more grateful, being more appreciative to God and to those who do things for us. If you're not a Christian here this morning, Jesus has done a lot for you. He's given everything for you. And we encourage you to humble yourselves to Him. Humble yourselves to Him. Repent of your sins, be baptized, and then rise up to walk a thankful disciple of Jesus Christ. We all hope that and pray that. And a little verse that we'll leave with is in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And verse 15. "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me." And I tell you what, I love Jesus and I love God and I love the Holy Spirit because they've done things for me that It's hard to believe sometimes when you think about it. And I know you all feel the same way. If you're not a child of God today, if you're not a disciple of Christ, we encourage you to respond to His invitation as we stand and sing.